So good. What a day today. Wow, we're in a great day today. Man, thank you so much. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Man, if you're new to BC, we're just a worship and word church, man. We just make it simple. God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, deserves to be worshiped. He gave his only begotten son to die on a cross so that you and I may have life. Man, we believe that this is the absolute truth, and you and I are called to live this out in such a real way, man, with power and authority. Man, it's so good. So thank you, moms. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to honor you today. Got a whole message just for you today, and I want you to be encouraged and built up. I'm going to take you at times, like a mom said, you took me down memory lane today, and I'm going to kind of maybe spark some memories for you and just come to a place to know, please hear this, man. I believe that moms, I think, sacrifice more than any. And I think there's moms who've been on their face. And honestly, in times of fasting and praying, and there's moms who do so much that people just have no idea. Your sons and daughters have no idea what you have done for them and sacrifice. And just, we're going to honor that today in a message called Mom Moments, and just looking at mom moments. And I caught a mom moment today in the foyer, and I got a picture of it and asked permission to show it, because this is how we roll here at BC. I want you to see this picture of Jamie and Samuel. Do we have that? There's little Samuel David. Look at his earmuffs. Like, that is the greatest picture. Like, this is a mom says, I'm going to church on Mother's Day. I don't give a flip how loud the music is. I'm going in with my newborn, and we're going to celebrate Jesus on Mom's Day. And look at the earmuffs. That is such a great picture, man. I love that on Mom's Day. And I saw that in the foyer. I'm like, oh, I got to get that. How cute he is. Oh, he's adorable. But that's a mom on Mom's Day going, we're going to celebrate Jesus right now. And I'm taking you with me, and we're going to protect your ears. And that's the way it goes here. That's how we roll at BC, man. That's how we roll. And I love it. I love it. But we are so blessed that you are with us this morning, man. I have been honored and blessed to be in Obergefell under Jenny Obergefell. My mom is an amazing mom. I just love her and appreciate all the sacrifice that she has made. Amen. And of course, my bride, who are my three amazing gifts, she is at a baseball game this morning in Buffalo with one of her sons, a sacrifice of a mom, and that's what they do. As of right now, they're winning 5-4. I'll keep you updated because she's texting me. Amen. Good stuff. Here we go. Come on, let's just honor the Lord in our time and just cry out to him and pray. And just, I'm telling you, man, I believe that we're going to have an amazing time honoring moms and what God has for us this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Man, thank you. There's so many amazing examples of moms that you've given us in your word. But Lord, we're going to this morning look at Mary and Jesus and their relationship and those moments that they've shared. God, I just pray that it would encourage. God, I pray that it would build. Father, I ask that your word come alive to us today, even in this house, God, as we honor moms. In this house, Father, we honor single moms who are doing the very best they can to serve you and to love their kids. So, Father, we just ask that we'd have moments in this place today that are so reflective of you, to honor you. We love you. Speak to us here in this place. And if you're in this place, just ask God, God, speak to me today. I walk out encouraged. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, two places, Luke 2 and John 2. Luke 2 and John 2. We're going to put Psalm 127, verse 3, up on the screen so you can see this. Knowing, truly believing that the Bible says that children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. So we got to get this. Okay, children, on Mom's Day, we're going to talk about moms. We're going to talk about sons and daughters. We're going to talk about these little individuals who are called gifts. Sometimes they are a great gift. Sometimes you want to wrap them up and send them back, right? I mean, just like return a sender, man. Stamp, forehead, be gone, right? There's that point at times that you just want to send back to sender. And there's that opportunity to realize that I love this, that children are a gift from God and the fruit of the womb. Watch this now. This is for moms. This is for females. The fruit of the womb is a reward. I mean, you realize that in that reward and really believing, man, this child that I have been blessed with that truly is a gift from God, that in my womb, in the God is amazing, in the miraculous gift of pregnancy, the miraculous gift of giving birth, only given to women, and how amazing that is that you experience something. I believe this, that there is such a bond between a mom and their child to realize that this child has been given to me by God as a gift And this person, this son or daughter is a reward to me in a sense of what that really looks like in our belief of what it means to truly honor moms and their understanding that every son or daughter that you have truly is a gift from God. And you come to a place to understand that in this child is great reward. But watch this now. In the reward, there are highs and there are lows. To understand, man, there's moments that we are just in awe, and there's moments that we are just amazed, and there's those awe moments, and then there's those striking moments that you're just looking going, what were you thinking? Why did you make that decision? And then there's moments that you come to a place that you're just at times feeling helpless and full of pain because you see your son or your daughter go through something, and there are such, it's an amazing journey. It's a crazy journey that the mom has in regards to the highs and the lows and the connection that you have with your son or your daughter. And we have a whole day that says this is your day. This is your day as a mom to honor you and to bless you and to thank you for what you do and the things that you do that I believe no one knows what you do and the level of sacrifice that you give. And I've seen it in my mom. I see it in Renee. And just the sacrifice, the times, listen, the times that you're praying, the times that you're crying out to the Lord, the times that you're covering your family where no one else knows, but you know your son, you know your daughter, you know how God has created them, you know the gifts that God has put in them, and you see it at times before anybody else sees it. And it's you, mom, who just truly is the hero. It's you, mom, honestly, that is sacrificing so much for your little gifts. I mean, we're going to get into this. And I looked at the moms of the Bible and just being preparation for this. I looked at Eve and then, you know, you look at Sarah and you look at Rebecca and you look at Elizabeth in the New Testament. And you, of course, you look at Mary and just, you know, I wanted to preach on Mary's song and just that song of a mom's heart. When you understand God has given me this gift and he's given this child within me and she sings a song and it's a beautiful song. And it's just, and I was going to preach on that. And then I came to a place to just renew myself again with Mary and Jesus and their relationship. And I looked at these mom moments and I began to pinpoint where Renee is and just even where I think all moms are, that you can in some degree, watch this now, in some degree, you can experience the mom moments just as Mary did. We're going to go through several of these moments that Mary had with Jesus that you can relate going, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I understand that moment. Yeah, I remember that scary moment, or I remember that hurtful moment. Man, I remember. I was so proud when I had and there's these moments that we see that the scripture gives us that are mom moments. And let's look right at Luke 2. I love this. Luke 2, verse 19 says this: but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Luke 2, verse 33 says this: and his father and mother were amazed at the things which being said about him. Luke 2, 51 says this: and he went down from them to Nazareth, and he continued to be subjected to them, and his mother treasured, watch this, treasured all these things in her heart. And I think we see so many places in Scripture that just took you from birth all the way up to where Jesus was 12. And there's these moments, I think every mom has these moments that you ponder, and you stop, and you think, and you remember, and you go back to that place. And this was Mary's journey. And you see it from the very beginning, man. Gabriel shows up, delivers this amazing message. Hey, Mary, guess what? You're highly favored. You're the chosen one of God. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. And he's going to save all their people from the sins of the world. And man, he is. And you could go into this whole story of what Mary, this teenage girl, must have felt at the time when this angel shows up and says, yep, you're her. Old Testament girl, the virgin, remember? Yeah, Isaiah talked about you, it was prophesied about you. You're the one chosen, you're it, you're her, you're the virgin, you're the one going to bring in the Son of God, and he's going to save his people from their sins. And she's just going, yeah, but I got this dude, and he's got a job, and he's not lazy, and he's a carpenter, and he's going to marry me, and just, man, it's kind of just, this child puts a wrench in all of my plans. So we don't see that from Mary. We see Mary freak out at first, as I think all of us would if an angel shows up and said, hey, teenage girl, you're in. Now she comes to a place to say, be it done to me according to your word. I'm in, I get it, I'll go through it. But I think we see this though as well. I think Mary had no idea what she was signing up for. And moms, when you're a new mom and it's your first child, and you have no idea, you can see it, you can have other moms tell you, man, you're gonna experience highs and lows like you have never felt in your life. You're gonna have the highest of highs with your kids, and you're gonna hurt for your kids. Until you go through it. I think Mary is just this new pregnant woman now, and she's just thrilled, but she has no idea. And we see where she goes to the temple on the eighth day. I mean, you know, you've got this whole amazing scene where she has to go to the inn and get denied, and they go into the lay Jesus in a feeding trough and going, wow, he's supposed to be the king of the world and the savior of the world, and he's supposed to be God's son, and he's laying here in a feeding trough. Maybe not going as maybe Mary possibly had planned out, right? And then you come to a place to see the shepherds show up and tell the story that an angel showed up and they started singing, and this truly is the Son of God, and he is going to save his people from their sins. And just, this is you, Mary, you're the one. And then the Bible says that Mary just pondered these things in her heart. She took it all in. Then you see it on the eighth day, she takes Jesus to the temple to dedicate, and you come to this place where there's a prophet there named Simeon, and he's been waiting in the temple for Jesus to show up. And I want to read this to you because it's one of those moments, I think, a mom moment that sometimes you have these mom moments that you don't forget. It says this in his father and mother, chapter 2, verse 33, were amazed at the things that were being said about him. So they're just on this high, and they're just being amazed, and all of these things. This is our son. This is Jesus, and I'm highly favored, and I'm blessed, and God has moved, and just, I mean, they're in this place of being pumped. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. Watch this, verse 35. And a sword will pierce even your own soul. It's one of them mom moments. You're like, man, I'm rejoicing and I'm amazed and I'm pondering. And then you go, and the prophet says this. Mary, I need you to lean in. Mary, pay attention to this. I know you're pumped and I know you're excited and I know this is new and this child is just born and you're trying to figure out the whole nursing thing, and I get that. You're so juiced and you're amazed and the shepherd showed up. That's good. But listen, clue in. Mary, pay attention right here. It's going to be as if your very own soul is pierced. Mary, there's going to be so many highs with this child. But Mary, it's going to hurt. Mary, it's going to be so amazing at times. You're going to be like, oh, that's my son. And Mary, but you got to prepare. Because it's going to be as if your very own soul has been pierced. There's these moments that moms have. And there's that birth moment, and you're excited, and you're pumped. And then we look at Luke 2. We pick it up right here when Jesus is 12, verse 42. And when he became 12, they went up according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning and spending a full number of days, the boy Jesus, he's 12 years old now, the boy Jesus stayed behind at Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. You lost your 12-year-old. Like, I have a 12-year-old. Like, Jerusalem is a huge city, right? Olean is not. Like, if I lost Ethan for one day, you think I'd be able to go home? Mom would not be pleased. What do you mean you left him? Like, go get him. Oh, he'll be fine. No, go get right now. Go pick. What is wrong with you? Go get your son. He's 12. He can't be alone in the mall. He can't be alone at the pizza shop. How did you forget your son, Sean? Well, I'm busy, Renee. I mean, it's just, you know, you could come up with any excuse you wanted to, but it's not going to go well for you, right? This is Jesus in Jerusalem, 12 years old, and they truly left God behind. Like, you totally, mom and dad, you forgot God who's in your house. Remember the one, the special child that you pondered and thought about? Well, you kind of left him, but how did you not check at least sometime during the day where your 12-year-old was, right? Sometime during the day. And they travel the whole day, and it takes them 3 days to find Jesus, 12-year-old, alone in a city for 3 days. They're looking all around. asking people, have you seen our son? Maybe you saw him with us. Jesus, he's 12. He's like this big. He's this thin. He's just, and then they're going, wow, I heard that there's a 12-year-old putting on a show in the temple. Mom knows immediately going, oh, that's got to be him. So they go to the temple, and I kind of picture it like this, because it says this, verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting amongst the teachers. These are the rabbis. These are the head honchos of the temple, man, both listening to them and asking them questions. Like, listen, can I just say this? A mom knows their son's voice, or a mom knows their daughter's voice from afar. And walking up to the temple, maybe they overheard something before they got into the temple of Jesus responding to a question from the rabbis. Like, who is this kid that's actually responding to the rabbis, the teachers at the temple, and Mary's leaning in to saying, my son is actually answering their questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. They were like, again, one of those moments that you look and say, that's my boy. That's a mom moment that you're looking at. Everybody is amazed. Who is this kid? Like, hey, where's your parents? Like, how many times did they ask them in 3 days? Where your parents just drop you off and leave you? Like, are you a troubled child? Like, did they really want nothing? Like, you think about it. He's in the temple for 3 days, and no parents come to figure where he's at. 3 days later, mom shows up, hears his voice, and they're astonished, going, listen. Listen to Joseph. Did you hear that? Listen to Jesus. Listen to our son. Listen to what he's saying. These rabbis are asking him questions. And now watch this. It says this. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Like, what were you thinking? Have you ever said that to your son or your daughter? Like, my mom said, son, what were you thinking? Like, I got that too often, I think, you know, like, why did you do that? What were you thinking? I don't know, mom. Like, that's the son answer. Wasn't thinking, mom. I just did, you know, we just do. We don't think. And this is where Mary's at with a mom moment going, what were you thinking? Why did you do this? And here, this 12-year-old's response is brilliant. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? I don't know, because you're 12. Did you not know that I had to be at my father's house? But when they did not understand the statement which he had made to them, he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued to be subject to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. You come to this place, and here we see that he is now 12 years old. He goes back to Nazareth, and this is the last mention of Joseph in this story. So we don't know. We believe, scholars believe that Joseph had passed away after this, that we come to this place to see, and I'm reading this and I'm going over this and I'm looking at this, and there was a point this week that my heart just went out to the single moms here in this church. Because we see where there's these moments, these mom moments where Mary must have had as a single mom, raising up now Jesus and his brothers and sisters, where we see this is a truth. And we as a church, man, we want to honor single moms in this place, those who are doing the best they can to raise the gifts that God has given them, whatever circumstance that would be in. But you find yourself as a mom doing the very best you can. Maybe you're an adult mom, and maybe you're just a young mom, or whatever the case is. Man, we see, please hear this, man. Can I just say this in reality, that whatever your circumstances is, you're in good company with Mary being a single mom. So it's not like, please hear this, it's not like no one's ever done this before. When you've got the mother of Jesus who has to go through life from we see where we don't know the point where Joseph died, but there absolutely was a point in the years to come that she had to function as a single mom. And when you look at this, we look at where in John 2, if you could turn there, we look at where Jesus starts coming into manhood, and he's now 30 years old. And we don't see anything from 12 to 30. Like we don't know where Jesus was. We don't know what. Well, we know that he was a carpenter. We know that he took over dad's business. We know that they lived in Nazareth. These are things we know. But from that story, from 12 all the way up to 30, we pick it up here. And again, I love this. This is one of those mom moments that mom just looked at him and said, okay, son, good. Just do what I told you to do. Mom, have you had that moment that you just look at your son and say, okay, that's good, but just do what I've asked you to do? And this is one of those moments, and it's great because it's Jesus' first miracle. He wasn't expecting this, right? I don't want to say Jesus wasn't expecting this. Jesus knew all things, but Jesus made it very clear. Listen, this isn't my time to come out yet. Like, it's not my time to do miracles yet. Now watch this. This is great. Chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus on the fly. Mom on the fly. This is an amazing mom moment. And on the third day, there was a wedding of Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So you see this, where this scholars believe that this was a family wedding. And you got to understand something, man. Weddings go for a seven-day period. In these days, could you imagine a seven-day celebration for a wedding? Man, we are trying to get through one day of celebration. We're trying to get through one day of ceremony and one day of celebration, and then on to the honeymoon, baby. Woo, here we come. Let's go. This is a seven-day deal. And watch this now. It was an insult to run out of food or drink in a seven-day period for your guests. Could you imagine that bill in today's day? I'm glad I got one daughter. Hello? But this was a big deal. I want you to understand something. This was an insult to the family and to the family name that you ran out of drink. And here, watch this. Verse 3 says this, and when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And then Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. I love this. I'm like, someone comes to Mary and says, hey, they don't have any more drink, man. They ran out of wine. And Mary's like, I got this. Goes over to Jesus, said, Jesus, listen, this is the deal. They ran out of wine. Okay. No, you can do what you do. I haven't done anything yet. Like, I've seen you walk on the pool. What are you talking about? You tried to hide it. I've seen what you do. I know that you can do things. Like, don't think that it slipped. I know, listen, mom knows her kids. I know what you can do. And he's like, just do what you do. Mom, my time hasn't come yet. Isn't it amazing? But I love this because the reality of this is moms know their kids. And listen, mom, I know that you know the gifts that are in your kids. Mary knew, listen to this, Mary knew Jesus. Mary knew what he was called to. I'm sure that Mary was going into the Old Testament and reading the Old Testament of who this child really was and who this child really is and who this child's really going to become. And you come to this place to see it and know, listen, I know who you are, son. Come on, I know it. Just, you got to do this for me. And she's like, mom, listen, you don't get it. My time hasn't yet come. Watch mom's response. Mom doesn't engage in her son. He says, my time hasn't yet come. She turns from them to the disciples, say, listen, you just do whatever he tells you to do. Like, this is a great mom moment to say, listen, son, I got this. I know what you're capable of. Don't tell me what to do. I got this. And listen, mom, my time hasn't yet come. Listen, just do whatever he tells you to do. So here, Jesus is like, okay, there's some water pots. Let's fill all these with water, and then he turns the water to wine, and it's just this crazy celebration, and this is his very first miracle, and it's all because of mom. You need to see that. Mom says, son, this is important. This is serious. I need you to do this. Mom, my time hasn't yet come. Hey, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Fills the pots, water to wine. And then we see this three-year journey now start of all these miracles that Jesus now is starting to show himself through signs and wonders, that he truly is the Son of God, that he absolutely has the power of the Holy Spirit rolling through him. He absolutely has come to this place to show himself compassionate. Can you imagine at this point, here we go, where Mary begins to take a step back and just begin to watch her son go. You ever have those moments, mom, that you just kind of now take a step back and you just watch your son go do what you know he's called to do? You knew it was you who pulled out the first miracle. Listen, I know what you're capable of, son. I know what you've got. Listen, daughter, I know what you've got. Moms know their sons and their daughters. Mom, you know the gifts in your kids at times before the kids even know the gifts in them. You know what your son and daughter are capable of. And at times it takes you to pull that out of your son and daughter. And Mary said, listen, son, this is the deal. It's time. Turn this party around in a sense of bring it back to a place where we're not insulted. So Jesus does as mom said. And then this, because of this, this starts the journey of miracle after miracle after miracle. And then you could imagine where Mary just steps back and watches. Watch this. Watches her son be compassionate to those who've never had compassion, to be merciful to those who should have been stoned under angry law, to watch the grace that her son have, to watch arms begin to grow back, begin to watch eyes begin to pop back in sight for those who have never seen. And then where Jesus actually stops this whole death procession, where with this funeral, where he reaches in and touches the casket and says, listen, young man, I say to you, arise. And all of a sudden, this dude just sits up. And here, could you imagine these moments that Mary is going through when she's watching Jesus be Jesus? And she just steps back and she watches her son in a very racially motivated scene, time after time after time, stand with those who everyone else come against. Help those who no one else wanted to help. Go to those who was the outcast and have such mercy and have such compassion and have such kindness and to watch people just flock to her son. That's my boy. That's mom moments. Moms, you can go back and you can go back in your mindset, and there are those moments that you don't forget. Maybe it is the birth, or maybe it is that one of a scary moment. I even asked Renee this week, like, what are some of those mom moments? And of course, there's a list. She's like, Sean, there's one with Olivia that I'll never forget. And Carter's involved in this, and baseball's involved in this. And you got Carter, maybe he's 10 or 11. That makes Olivia maybe 6 or 7 or 8 years old. And Carter's out, and he's preparing for a game, and Carter's swinging a baseball bat. And here, little sister just wants to be next to big brother. And mom's outside, and she just, have you ever had something happen in slow motion? Well, you see it coming, and you can't do anything about it. Carter lines up and he's just swinging away, not having any clue that his little sister's right behind him, and this bat catches her right in the throat. And here's Renee. This is just one moment out of how many moments as a mom. But she says, Sean, it was like this whole thing unfold. You never forget it. It's like I'm standing there and watching this whole thing unfold. And you feel that moment of helplessness because there's nothing you can do. Can't get there quick enough to stop this. Can't yell out enough to have him stop the bat swinging. And it catches her flat right here in the front part of her throat. And it's a mom moment that she just screams on the name of Jesus. And just runs right over and just... It just, you've got her coming and you've got Olivia coming. Olivia is absolutely in terror. Mom sees it in her eyes and Olivia runs to mom. I mean, just this whole scene where she's just embracing mom. And then immediately, what do moms do? Immediately, after calling on the name of, just yells out, Jesus! Just embraces her and just begins to cover her throat and just begins to pray over her. We don't even know the voice that she has yet. We don't know that. How God is going to use her yet in singing. We have no clue. We just see a daughter who just got tagged right here in the front. You know how serious that is? Renee's like, Sean, it was just one of those mom moments that you never forget. And the whole thing just unfolded in slow motion right before me, and there's nothing I could do. Except yell on the one name that is above every name. Come to this place here. Well, you see where Mary has seen her son at his best. regards to building people, in regards to compassion for people, in regards to mercy for people, in regards to miracle after miracle, in regards to being the most popular. Everywhere Jesus went, he was most popular. Large crowds would come around him to be amazed. That's my son. That's his teaching. Look at him go. Go, Jesus, go. And there's that moment. But there is that helplessness and that pain that night that Jesus gets arrested. As mom, you look at this, and a lot of this was done in open forum, and a lot of this was done in open courtyard. And you can imagine how a mom would feel. How a mom would feel when you see the arrest, and all of a sudden, these dudes just begin to punch your son in the face. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do about it. And these guys just begin to tune them up, and you hear people saying things that aren't true. Well, he did this. Mom's in the background going, no, he didn't. Well, he said this. No, you're twisting it. Bang, punch in the face. Bang, punch in the face. And then the mockery starts, and the making fun of starts, and the crown of thorns is put on his face, and the purple robe, and people are bowing down in complete, absolute mockery. And here Mary standing to the side. This is all done in the open forum, and mom is just watching this thing unfold. Remember, Mary? Remember, Mary, it's going to be as if your own soul is pierced through. I can't imagine what it was like to be in the crowd that day. And you got the governor going, man, he's innocent. Crucify him. What? I don't find anything wrong with him. A couple more voices. Crucify him. Mary's in the crowd going, what? Crucify him. And then the crowd just gets louder and louder and louder. And these are the same people. Church, these are the same ones. The Mary was elbow. The crowds, the large crowds that was coming to see Jesus. Now Mary's looking across the crowd. Man, he blessed you, and he blessed you, and he helped you, and he helped you, and he helped. Crucify him. Could you imagine mom being in that scene, in that crowd, in that courtyard, where all these voices all around you are screaming, crucify, that's my son. And there's nothing you can do about it. And they lay him on a cross and nail his hands and nail his feet. Put him in a post. And I can imagine, listen, the Old Testament obviously was written at this point, and they knew the Old Testament. They would read from the great prophet Isaiah, and I could imagine that Mary in her time, through this whole time of Jesus, and knowing what he's called to, and knowing the prophet Isaiah, had a lot to say about this moment right here for her son. Isaiah 52:14. Could you imagine when she's looking at Jesus and looking what the assignment is as the mother of Christ, and she's looking and she's looking and she's looking, and she comes across Isaiah 52 and she's reading and says, and he will be marred more than any man. Which means you will not recognize him as a human being. Well, what does that look like? Could you imagine as a mom reading this Old Testament going, this is Jesus' fate. This is what my son is going to go through. That there's this moment and that I'm going to look at him on a cross. I can't even tell that he's my son. And she begins to read more, and she gets to Isaiah 53. And he was despised and forsaken of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And like one from man, he hid their face, and he was rejected or despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs, he himself bore our sorrows, he carried. We ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Could you imagine mom reading this in preparation of what's to come? He's smitten of God. He's afflicted. And then she comes to verse 5, and he was pierced through. for our transgressions. Could you imagine, maybe she was reading this and it brought her back to that place to remember Simeon in the temple. Go, Mary, Mary, lean in, pay attention. You need to hear this. You need to hear this. There's going to be highs as mom. But man, it's going to hurt. Mary, there's going to be moments that it's going to be as if your very own soul is pierced. She's reading this going, I got to get ready for this. For he's pierced through for our transgression. Watch this. He was crushed for our iniquities, which is, I don't know what the original actually read, but the word crushed here means he was broken to pieces. It means he was just shredded. And then he was scourged for our healing. Could you imagine when they tie your son naked to a post, and then you got these Roman centurion soldiers just shredding your son, and they're coming to this place and they're crucifying your boy, right? And this was all in public forum. Come on, man, that's my son. Hit him again. Ah, another lash. Isn't he shredded enough? Isn't he unrecognizable enough? Crucify him. Come on, he's innocent. Listen, listen. She, of all people, she, of everyone who ever walked the earth as a mom, knew that her son was innocent. Knew. No, 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 you don't understand. What I mean, he doesn't make mistakes. I mean, he's never made a mistake. He's never had a bad thought. He's never said a bad word. He's never disrespected her father. I mean, he's innocent in every way. He's perfect. Crucify him. Come on. He's perfect. No one ever understood his innocence like his mother. As it comes to this place, and we see it in John 19, it unfolds to a place where her son is hanging on a cross. And moms, I'm telling you, man, we honor you. I honestly believe that you are the heroes. You're the heroes, the at times, the hidden heroes of the sacrifice a mom makes. The sacrifice that you make for your children. Understanding, man, my priority is my household and my kids are my priority, and I have given up so much and I've sacrificed so much for my son and for my daughter, and I've come to this place that, listen, I believe this, that you are the hidden heroes. Your time on your face, your time with tears flowing down your face, begging God to do something in your children's life, begging God, watch this, for your child to come back to a place to know and love Jesus with everything in them. The moms are on their face. The moms are fasting. The moms are praying. The moms are begging God, because you know the condition of your kid's heart. You know your son and your daughter. And I believe that there is a connection given in the womb that God has given you that you have with your son or your daughter. And there is this connection that you have, and you know your kids, and you are these hidden heroes, and you see their hurts and you see their pain, and you hurt. I believe you hurt with them even more so than a dad, because you are so connected to your kids. Physically, you are connected. And I believe there's a bond there. And you have Mary, she's at the cross, and she's just watching these people walk by the cross, mocking Jesus, making fun of her son. Oh, come down, you can save us, and you can save him, and just absolute sheer mockery. Jesus looks down from the cross and says, Mom, come here. I need you to be with John now. John, I need you to take care of my mom. Which was proof that Joseph was no longer alive. As a single mom, she's like, I'm doing the best that I can. I'm blessed and highly favored. John, take care of my mom. Could you imagine the moment? I mean, honestly, I read this and I think, okay, kind of put yourself in Mary's shoes. At what point that she's going this whole life going, oh, come on, Jesus, I'm proud of you. Look what you did today. Look at the compassion. I'm so proud that you had compassion for that girl. I'm so proud that you had mercy when no one else would. I'm so proud of you, Jesus. At what moment, looking at this mass of flesh on a cross, that in a mom's heart she could say, oh, son, this is your call. You've come to seek and to save that which the lost, and this is the moment. And I'm so proud of you. And to see, just moments later, Jesus gives up his spirit and breathes his last. And here's mom at the foot of the cross. That's my son. Helpless. Hurting, sacrificed so much. But yet I believe in the same moment, knowing the call of her son. I'm proud of you, son. You did it. I mean, we can get excited when your son hits a home run or your daughter hits a dance move that she's never hit before and she's practiced so hard and you come home and say, you did it. It was awesome. I'm so proud of you. What happens when her son breathes his last and gives up his life? And mom can say, son, you did it. I believe there is such sacrifice in moms. That goes so deep in your sons and your daughters. Such a connection. I want to pray over you this morning and just ask God to bless you as a mom, as a grandmom, the things that you are praying for currently, the things that you're begging God for in your son, what you're begging God for in your daughter, and the prayers that no one has heard except the Lord. That moment that you know, God, you hear me as a mom. I love to pray for my kids. But I love to hear mom pray for her kids. I love to hear Renee intercede for her children. Church, it's a different level than me. Because I think when a mom intercedes, I have all the moms and grandmoms. Just stand to your feet, please. I mean, if you're a son or a daughter in this place, I need you to, amen, come on, honor them. Yep. But we're going to pray. So if you're a son or a daughter, I need you to go to your mom. If you're a husband, lay your hands on your wife. And just, we're just going to pray, man. We're going to believe God will bless you. And we are so grateful for you. I believe it. I believe you're the hidden heroes, man. I think you do so much behind the scenes. And you sacrifice so much in your heart that at times is full of such joy and you're so full with gladness. And I think there's moments that you hurt in the same level of pain as your child hurts. We just want to pray for you and thank you for the sacrifice that moms have made. And we look at these moments. I hope that was okay, because we look at these moments and I look at these and maybe it's not to the extent of the king on the cross, but it's to that extent that you can relate to these mom moments throughout life. And we just are so, so blessed by you. Father, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would bless these moms. Father, thank you for what you have designed and created and the idea of a mother's heart and a mother's sacrifice and what a mom gives up for the sake of her sons and daughters. Father, we just ask that you would bless them today. God, I want them, even in this emotional message, God, I want them to be encouraged. I want them to feel like they are honored in this place. Father, we thank you. Help them to be honored in their own home. God, I know that you have heard every cry that they have cried out to you. You have seen every tear that they have shed. God, you've seen that internal joy that just bubbles up within them, Father. Those mom moments, God, are unforgettable. I just ask that you would bless them, please. Encourage them and strengthen them. Give them the strength to get through. Father, let your favor be upon these women. God, I just pray for those single moms in this place, God. Help us to embrace. Help us to encourage. Help us to just be there as a community, God. I just ask that you would guide them and direct them. As we see where Mary did it, she pushed through. And God, I just ask that we would encourage these women, God, that you would strengthen them, that you would guide them, and you would direct them, Father, as single moms doing the very best that they can. And the sacrifices that they make. God, I just pray that their kids would honor them and they would just begin to see a smidge of all the hard work of these single moms, God. And the kids would honor their moms. Oh, God, please. God, I ask for your favor over these women. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, let's give God thanks for today. How about it? Amen. Come on, we will see you all next week. We close out our prayer series next week when God leans in. Come on, don't miss it. Be here next Sunday. God bless you. All praying for you. Come on, amen. Yes.